Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. Certainly there's good reason for that. A wondrous cross. Our sin put Christ there. Listen as it's sung. From Colossians chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 9, speaking of Christ, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which is contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink, or in respect of a holy day, or of the new moon, or the Sabbath day, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let's give thanks for these words. They were a blessing at Colossae, and they can and must be a blessing to us as well, through Christ. Our Father, we come to Thee through Christ Jesus. We come giving thanks in His name for all that has been given, particularly Thy giving Him, so loving the world, that Thou didst give Him, Thine only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We pray, Father, that those who acknowledge Thee as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob might also be made to realize that Christ is Thy Son, that He has been born, lived, died, rose again. We pray, Father, that they may know that those promises that were given to Adam, to Abraham, written of by Isaiah, have been fulfilled, and that what is here written is for us today, for all of the world, especially those words, having nailed our sins to the cross, He Himself paying that price, and then Thy raising Him again from the dead. We pray, Father, in His name, that Thou will now give the Holy Spirit to teach us, to lead us into all truth, to convict us, to especially in conviction and humbling us, then show us the things of Christ, giving us faith in Him for salvation, faith also to live and to glorify Thy name in all things. We pray that we might be able to do that now from this Word, that we will rightly see the doctrine of the Word, that we will want to endure it, and not be those who no longer want to endure sound doctrine, but are described by Paul as heaping up to themselves teachers having itching ears and turning to fables. And we fear, Father, there is much of that today. And we pray that Thou would bring all of the church back to the truth and make it one in the truth through Christ. We also give thanks for the temporal blessings that we have so richly in our area. We pray for those that are not so blessed as we are, that are homeless, hungry, war-torn lands, the suffering. We pray for those in sickness and injury. Pray for the broken homes. Pray for all the needs that there are through Christ, in whose name again we give thanks. Amen. Yes, through the Scripture, we can survey that wondrous cross. As we read the last part of the 14th verse here in the second chapter of Colossians, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. Also, we read in the first chapter, verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. So the message of the cross is there. And as Paul wrote to another church, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. The gospel is Christ dying on that cross for our sins. And it is according to the Scriptures, according to the Old Testament Scriptures. Genesis, Moses wrote of Christ. Moses spoke of Him. And as well, through all of the other books of the Old Testament, the prophets. And those promises given to Abraham, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, are being fulfilled today. They have been, and they are. Yes, it was true that those before the time of Christ were blessed by looking to Him, as Christ said of Abraham, Abraham saw my day and was glad. He believed Christ was coming. He believed the promise that God gave to him. He believed that it would be fulfilled, and now it has been fulfilled. Paul, writing this, was one of certainly the unbelievers, and thought he had to do much against Christ, but the Lord Jesus stopping him, and then Saul asking, who art thou, Lord? And receiving the answer, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And then Saul asked, what wilt thou have me to do? And he was told, And he went and learned and soon became one to preach the gospel of Christ. And here he is writing to a church at Colossae. This was not a church that was begun by Paul's preaching, as some of the other churches, the Corinthians, for example, and the Thessalonians. But here he states, as we saw earlier in that second chapter, I have great conflict for them at Laodicea, and as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. So evidently, Paul had never been there, but he is writing to them. He is writing to them from the prison, writing to them in a concern he has for the churches while he is suffering for the name of Christ, and giving that vivid description of what their blessing was. First of all, as we read, of Christ, in the 9th verse, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. When Paul wrote to the Corinthians, in the second letter that he wrote to them, he described as God showing himself in the face of Jesus Christ. And certainly, God made his love known by giving his only begotten Son. And here he says, the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelleth in him. And along with that, you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. And then describing what Christ did, what they had in blessing, in whom you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. I think we could say it of two ways. One is the circumcision of Christ because of what he had paid for and what could be done by God, by the Holy Spirit, and Christ himself as the Good Shepherd, Christ himself as a prophet, as well as a priest and a king. And we could say that he was here, the Good Shepherd, taking the sinner out of the wilderness and changing him in the process with a circumcision made without hands and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Somewhat the same thing is described in the last part of the 13th verse. We read there, and you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. There the word quickening is used. And as we said before, many different words are used for this same great need and blessing. Christ, when speaking to Nicodemus, said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. When Paul wrote to Titus, he described it as the washing of regeneration. Some want to say that's baptism, but I don't believe it is baptism. It is really the washing by the Word and Spirit, as God uses the word washing when Paul wrote to the Ephesians in chapter 5, the washing of the Word. And here it is the circumcision made without hands, or described fully by the circumcision of Christ. Christ doing this through the Spirit doing it as Christ said he would. He would come and take the things of mine and show them to you, and also give them to those that were called, justified, saved, and then conformed to the image of Christ. Is part of the process here that God did to these sinners. A thing necessary for all sinners. And before you think that's just for others, all people are sinners. All. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. There are people who like to separate. And in one way, God did separate. He did call some people the circumcised, and he described others as the uncircumcised. They were a separate people who were circumcised. But as we also know, they were not all circumcised in heart. Jeremiah writes in the 9th chapter, the 26th verse, Israel uncircumcised in heart. Ezekiel speaks and says, they're uncircumcised in heart and ears. That which was necessary was still hard, closed, wrong, dead in sin. No new heart, no ears to hear. Uncircumcised in heart and ears. And here, these people had that. Not circumcised in the body, like all of those born in Israel, all the males had to be circumcised in the flesh. But as we read different times from Paul's letter to the church at Rome, the New Testament church, he said, he is not a Jew whose circumcision is of the flesh, but whose circumcision is of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter. Also, I think we have to see that the fleshly circumcision that they had, each one of them, put them in conjunction with the law. Circumcision profiteth if you keep the law, Paul wrote to the church at Rome. And it was true for all those circumcised. So we would ask, do you want something connected with the law? Or do you want something that is in grace? Grace. God gave the promise already to Abram in grace. Later, Paul wrote that the covenant of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, could not disannul. That was not the covenant of circumcision. It was the covenant God made with Abraham when he called him out of the Ur of the Chaldees, recorded in Genesis chapter 12. In thee, or in thy seed, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. That was the covenant of God in Christ. Paul refers to it in Galatians 3. Peter refers to it in Acts chapter 3, the last part of it, and states what Christ there did in turning every one of them from their iniquities. That is what this circumcision here without hands did. Circumcision with hands doesn't do that. You can be circumcised, you can be baptized, you can be the member of a church, all in formalism, all in historic faith. And it's happened over and over and over and over. Much like Israel, coming out of Egypt, they were in unbelief and had to die in the wilderness. Later, after they went into Canaan, we read, after the generation of Joshua, there rose another generation which knew not the Lord. When we read of our pilgrim forefathers here in this country, they were troubled that their children did not have that circumcision of the heart. They said they were law-abiding citizens. They washed the outside of the cup. They lived in a formal way in religion, but they saw that their children didn't know their sin and the need of forgiveness, like we read here again in the last part of that 13th verse, having forgiven you all trespasses. That doesn't just mean that there were probably a dozen trespasses and they're all forgiven. Everything we do until we have Christ is sin. He said just before he died, recorded in John chapter 15, without me you can do nothing. We read very plainly again and again, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. And again, I would remind you that Paul links circumcision and the law together. Circumcision profiteth if you keep the law. Those that did not have a circumcised heart did not keep the law. They remained uncircumcised in heart and ears. Christ had to say when he was here on earth, which of the prophets have not your fathers killed? They've stoned those that were sent unto thee. Over and over, we see that. We read of it. The circumcised people. At one point, God sent them all into another land. The 10 tribes were the Assyrians, and the 2 tribes with Nebuchadnezzar. Most of them died. The temple was burned down, the walls broken down. Some people carried away captive for 70 years because they were uncircumcised in heart. They were the circumcised people, but not in the heart, not having this. And oh, I fear how many in the church, I know it myself, 28 years, uncircumcised in heart. All we have then is proud flesh. We think we are right, and sadly, often, we're told that, like the false prophets in Israel. They cried, peace, peace, when there was no peace. We must have this as it's stated here in vivid description by Paul to this church at Colossae. And we better not move out of the way and say, well, mine is different, or I can have a different. In whom ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. We could use a different word, but not a different act. Whether it's, we read it, you are born again by the Spirit without hands, without anything we do in the flesh, or we could say, you are quickened again by the Spirit, as we read there in the last part of the 13th verse. It is the circumcision of Christ. He himself, through the Spirit and by the Word, does that. Then, further, verse 12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Buried with him in baptism. The message of Christ was, before he left this earth, to preach the gospel to every creature. That's the command given to the church at that time. Every creature, none excepted. They're all to be told about the gospel of Christ. And then, with a promise, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Baptized. In the Greek, it was really, as the Greek people know it and practice it in the Greek Orthodox Church, it is immersion. And as Calvin, as I mentioned that before, writes in his Institutes, it means immersion. And as Luther said, when baptism is, the picture of it is rightly, to be buried, to show death, and to show resurrection. That's what it does. Buried with him in baptism, wherein you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. Other ways don't show either. Don't show the burying. Don't show the death. Don't show the rising. Very plain. Not only do we have it here, Paul also, in writing to the church at Rome, stated, Romans chapter 6, verse 3, know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. And like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so should we also walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Very plain. Buried with him in baptism. That's what John the Baptist did. We may believe that's what Christ and the apostle did. We can believe very plainly that Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch went into the water. They came up out of the water. All stated very plainly. Stated in teaching the meaning of the word given. And again, as Calvin said, that's what the word means. And yet, along with it, he said, it's not important what we do. Oh, how often we think that. And some people would say, well, it's different interpretations. I fear it's different degrees of disobedience. Can we have a right to say that anything in God's Word, the way He tells us to do it, is not important? Where are we going to draw the line? What do we end up with? If one thing is not important, then part of the Word is not important. And how much of the Word can we say is not important? It's all for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. That's why God gave us the Scripture, even to the point of giving this instruction to us. To this man will I look, who is poor, and of a contrite heart, and trembleth at my word. Not necessarily trembling when we see God's wrath described, but trembling. Do I understand it rightly? Do I believe it rightly? Do I practice it rightly? What we do know. Yes, we can also tremble the danger that the wrath might come. And it could come on us as well as it has on others. We deserve it. We're a murderous nation. And we hear of people being killed by, yes, dozens, 50. But what about the thousands of babies that are murdered every day, every week? We talk about taking guns away. Must we take the knives away from the doctors? Must we tie the hands of the nurses? What must we do? We must have the circumcision of the heart in the church. Christ said, "You are the salt and you are the light." But if the salt hath lost its savor, it's good for nothing but to be trodden underfoot. In the history of the church, in regard to the killing of the unborn, the murdering is not good. It's been too silent. It's been wrong, long before the government was wrong. I sadly heard of it long before Roe versus Wade taking place right here in the city I live. Doctors were doing it. Elders, church, didn't seem to bother, weren't troubled by it. Murder taking place in the city. Not mentioned. Just look the other way. As long as we do that, what can we expect from the rest of the nation and the rest of the world that is doing that? We need this. We need to have our flesh buried. That's what Paul said. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. What he did think of in pride in his flesh earlier, he said, "I count it all but dung that I may win Christ and know him and the power of his resurrection." We need revival in the church, but we need as well addition to the church. We need sinners to be born again. We need sinners to be circumcised in the heart. We need sinners that will believe and then willingly say with the Ethiopian eunuch, "What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Philip's answer was, "If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest." Do you believe with all your heart the word of God through Paul here, and the word of God in many different, from many different writers, but all the word of the living God, and especially the gospel of Christ?
To God be the glory.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.